I want to introduce Christy Hess now from Deakin University. She's the Associate Professor of Communication there. She's been researching local media, including one of those research council, Linkage, which is examining the future of local newspapers. Christy, over to you.
Thanks very much, Lisa. I just want to start by acknowledging the Gunditjmara people, the custodians of the lands on which I present from today. So yes, as Lisa's highlighted, I'm going to talk about some of the findings that have come out of an Australian Research Council Linkage grant that is looking at the future of local newspapers across Australia. And what's been really interesting is just how passionate people are about local news, especially when they feel that it's under threat. But just in lead up to this presentation today, I was thinking that a decade ago when I was studying my PhD, sometimes you had to work a little bit harder to tease out the significance of news amongst local people, because it was just such a taken for granted thing. The newspaper existed, it's part of everyday life. So I've dragged out a transcript from my early work in 2011 just to illustrate that point. So if you'll indulge me, I'll read out a section of an interview with a 58-year-old regional Victorian man. Let's call him Bob. So I ask, "Are you interested in local news?" Bob: "Yeah, but the newspaper's a bit of a rag. I don't listen to that left-wing radio crap that they call the ABC either." 5 minutes into the transcript, I ask, "So when you say you're interested in local news, Bob, how do you get that information?" Bob: "Oh, definitely the paper. It comes out twice a week." Chuckles. "My wife would have a hernia if I didn't bring it home from the shops. I read the sports results and who's died, and I always read what's on the front page. And yeah, when we had those fires, the radio's been good for local updates." Me: "What radio station was that, Bob?" "The ABC." "So news matters. We know news matters from all of the presentations today. We don't need to constantly reinforce that. I'm going to talk today about two surveys, but before I do, I just want to get on my own soapbox about the immediate challenges that the sector faces. And I really want to highlight how the notion of the subsidy has gone from being a very taboo topic in Australian in the Australian media landscape to one that's now absolutely embraced, as Simon just highlighted in the previous presentation. It's just assumed it will take place to support public interest journalism. And in doing so, we have to keep a very broad mind when it comes to the power structures that have supported local journalism over time. And I think there needs to be an urgent and critical examination of the existing funds that are slushing around in the system and which have been a silent subsidy for the sector over time. I'll just quickly highlight government advertising there. It's a separate presentation altogether, which I don't have time, but this creates serious inequalities. We have some local governments currently out there substituting or bypassing newspapers that are trying to exist, using ratepayer money to run their own glossy magazines that are written by PR consultants. And we also have other councils, for example, in South Australia, that are literally handing over ratepayer money to a local newspaper to say, "Please, you know, like, keep going. We need an independent watchdog in our community." And so above all, we've got Ping funding, we've got another $10 million on the table, we've got the mandatory bargaining code, and still I would argue that there needs to be immediate transparency and accountability for all of this money that's going in to support commercial enterprise. It's absolutely urgent. Getting back to the ARC Linkage project that is being led by Deakin and involves researchers from RMIT and Country Press Australia, what we're doing is that we've conducted a large national audience survey. We've undertaken a non-reader survey using Facebook, trying to find people that say they don't engage with local news. We're interviewing proprietors and startups, as well as conducting think tanks across the Eastern Seaboard with editors, journalists and advertising reps, and also conducting those internationally. And there's a PhD project that is exploring those particular newspapers that are bucking the trend and actually enjoying or maintaining strong paid circulation across digital and print platforms. As we've heard from the last two presentations, the first survey that we undertook was in 2020, end of 2020, in the midst of the pandemic. We've really tried to advocate for a different approach, a different type of AI in all of this discussion about digital innovation, and that is audience intelligence. Because as the international literature suggests, the opinions of citizens themselves are actually remarkably absent in debates and policy-making decisions about the future of local news. The first survey that we did was looking at local news audiences. We advertised the survey across more than 150 local newspapers in Australia, and we got over 4,200 responses. Now, this was a learning curve because, as I will show as the presentation evolves, this was a digital-only survey. It was promoted through the newspapers. There was a link to online, and there was a QR code published in the printed version for people to access. Within the first week, newspapers were receiving phone calls from people very upset. We as researchers were receiving, you know, emails and phone calls as well. People just so dismayed that this was a digital-only survey. And the sentiment was that there just seemed to be this push constantly of shifting everything into the digital space and not giving people a chance to say that, hang on a minute, that's not actually how I want to access my news. I had one woman, for example, say to me, look, I've got a lot of my friends that don't even have good broadband. They can't even, if they wanted to access it online, they couldn't. And what happened to the idea that you can actually sit down with a cup of coffee and flip through a local newspaper? Doesn't anybody care about that? And that's actually being reflected increasingly in the international literature about the actual passion for print. The average age of participants was about 59 with a standard deviation of 14.2. So we're talking about people between the ages of 45 and 75 that undertook this survey. And I think it's a really important point to highlight that at times when we're talking about digital innovation, there does tend to be a bias towards the young. We've got a group of, in terms of we've got to look at the demographics here, and who are the readers of local news in regional Australia. A 60-year-old is not going anywhere for some decades ahead. You try to tell my 73-year-old mother-in-law that her views on news, you know, are a bit outdated, and she gets very angry. So we have to be very conscious that we don't impose an ageist lens here, that we are open and we are trying to think about the broader context. In terms of the passion for print, the survey indicates that 86% of people think that the printed paper is an essential service for their community, and that overall 83% of people would prefer to access their local news in print. You'll see the graphic on the left of screen, or the right of screen. There is obviously a trend over time in terms of age. So those who are older absolutely prefer the printed product. Those that are younger are shifting towards the online space. But still, those age born from the 1990s still have a 55% preference for the printed product. We asked audiences, do you think you should be invited to have a say about policies shaping the future of local news? Overwhelming response there. And would policies that affect the future of local news influence how you vote at the next election? Perhaps some, you know, with a Senate inquiry into regional news. We asked, should my subscription to a newspaper be tax deductible? Now, this was a surprising finding because it was overwhelmingly no. People did not need the newspaper subscription to be tax deductible. We asked also, okay, so if you're going to find local news in a digital space, where would you first go? Where is your first port of call if you want that type of information? And overwhelmingly, in an era where we feel as though we can't live without Facebook, you can see that 67% of people indicated they would first go directly to a local newspaper website. We asked audiences, okay, how do we fund and improve local journalism? If there's money on the table, how should it be spent? And it was resounding that if there's money, it goes towards local journalism and news content way ahead of digital upskilling, video and infrastructure. That said, we're talking about significant government dollars, subsidies on the table, and audiences indicated that there should be an independent watchdog looking at where all of this money is going to ensure that it is adequately serving community and public interest journalism. Audiences also thought that, okay, in terms of the transition to the digital, there does need to be free training that is available to help that cultural shift. We can see in terms of Google News initiatives, we can see in terms of Barnaby Joyce's announcement this week that there's still a focus, a journalism-centric focus on digital upskilling at the expense of audience upskilling. In terms of the importance of the local newspaper and the role that they should play, there is a lot of emphasis on public interest journalism in terms of the watchdog function. But by and large, the main focus, you know, the main function of a local paper to local people is that it serves as a community hub, connects people socially and gives them that sense of place. Following on from Simon's presentation, surprise, surprise, audiences, they don't want to have to pay for local news and are very frustrated by exactly that. 72% said they don't pay, while 28% do. In terms of what they'd like to see more of, there were three key areas. Investigative news stories, they wanted to see more stories about people's achievements and successes, and information about events. So we had close to 3,500 qualitative comments at the end of the survey, which I don't know about you, but when you fill out a survey, you're often fatigued by the end. But people wanted to keep going with their feedback and ideas for the future. And some people were commenting that, you know, you don't even know that they might cover an event. The local paper, for example, might send a photographer out to take some snaps, but actually you didn't know it was on. You didn't even know where and the time that it started. So those types of factors really matter. We also conducted a non-reader survey. This sample was 400 people. It was a case study approach. So we chose four geographic areas in Australia where there was clusters of newspapers and went out via Facebook to find people that said, hey, yeah, I identify as someone that doesn't want to engage or doesn't engage in local news. And just quickly, because I know I'm running out of time, they don't want to pay, but they would actually engage with local news if it was free. So they also thought that a printed copy of the local newspaper is an essential service for the community. So often when we talk about non-readers, we do so in a way that assumes that they're news avoiders, that they don't perhaps want to engage in civic affairs. But most people that participated in this survey indicated they were indeed very interested in local issues, and some of the reasons as to why they don't engage I've listed there. And there's hope, you know, there's ways, again, coming back to the importance of community, they want more social information about people and happenings, the type of information that is reliable and credible, and there's a single space for it. Only 1% of Facebook users in this survey indicated that they'd like to see more multimedia. So in summary, what are we saying? I am not about digital bashing here. Personally, I absolutely consume my news both in print and in digital format. But it's important that the digital horse doesn't bolt here before we get a very comprehensive assessment on what people actually want. The shift to digital needs to be understood as a cultural practice. It is a transition. It cannot be enforced. And so that needs to be shaped into policy discussions. And there are also, as I said at the very beginning, there needs to be an urgent reassessment of government advertising legislation, starting particularly at the local government level. And finally, just from our extensive research and also in regards to our own submission to the most recent Senate inquiry, the issue of recruitment and branding of cadetships in regional areas also is a key consideration moving forward. Now, we've got money on the table. It's a start to support cadets that are absolutely needed. However, I have newspaper editors constantly contacting me saying, we've got these cadetships and nobody is applying for them. You know, nobody wants to come and work at the back of Bourke. What do we do? Help us. And I just want to throw this idea out there in that I think there is a touch of geographic narcissism that tends to go on. And even within the Journalism Academy itself, you know, we're all doing our bit to get reporters out there into the regions. But we often use phrases like, it's a great stepping stone. It's a wonderful starting point and a launch pad. And Lisa is a great exemplar of that, and we should celebrate it. But I also think we absolutely need to celebrate regional media careers as long-term, you know, wonderful, exciting, fulfilling careers for our journalism students, and perhaps moving beyond that stepping stone to bolder and braver bush career mentality. Thank you.
Christy, I just loved that. Thank you so much. There is so much to unpack from that. And yes, maybe the messaging needs to change about filling those jobs and not only starting off in regional Australia, but actually seeing a long-term, really satisfying career. And I know the ABC has some long-term regional reporters who are doing fantastic work and have made it their home and their lifelong ambition to stay in those areas. We keep coming back to this issue, though, of who's going to pay. We are going to be talking a lot more. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back at 12:45 Australian Eastern Daylight Time, and we've got a big afternoon ahead. We're going to be talking to representatives from Google and Facebook, so definitely stick around.